concluding Psalm 119 this evening, looking at the last stanza of that psalm, the Tau stanza, verses 169 through 176. So hear God's holy word. Let my cry come before you, O Lord. Give me understanding according to your word. Let my plea come before you. Deliver me according to your word. My lips will pour forth praise, for you teach me your statutes. My tongue will sing of your word, for all your commandments are right. Let your hand be ready to help me, for I have chosen your precepts. I long for your salvation, O Lord, and your law is my delight. Let my soul live and praise you, and let your rules help me. I've gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I do not forget your commandments. Thus far, the reading of God's holy word. Grass withers, the flower fails, but the word of our God endures forever. Let's pray for God's blessing on his word. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you and we praise you for your word. We know that your word is true. And we know that you continue to guide and direct us. You continue to teach and instruct us. And Father, we ask, just like the psalmist this evening, give us understanding. Lord, we love your word. We want to love it more. We want to know how to understand and apply it in the challenges that we face, that we might glorify you. And so, Lord, speak to us this day. Grant to us blessing. We do pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, last week, what stuck out about that stanza was that there was not one petition in any of the verses of that stanza. He simply exhibited a joy and a trust in the Lord, even in the midst of suffering and persecution. And that's a contrast from what we're going to look at in this last stanza of the psalm. This stanza that we're looking at this evening, each verse contains some petition to the Lord. Now, if you've been looking closely as we read it, you might be looking at verses 171 and 172 and our translations and say, well, that looks like statements. My lips will, my tongue will. However, I hope to show you that when we get to those verses, that they can also be translated, let my lips, let my tongue. The psalmist is petitioning God. And even as the psalmist has affirmed his love for the law of the Lord and desire to follow in it in the past, he realizes his weakness. He realizes that he's a sinner. He realizes that he's a strange sheep. He knows his condition and his constant need for God's grace. And so this whole stanza is filled with petitions for what he needs. The psalmist acknowledges in this stanza that he's strayed like a sheep. He doesn't pretend perfection. He doesn't exalt himself. He doesn't raise himself up. He doesn't have a high view of himself. He doesn't trust in his own strength. He doesn't pray, God, I thank you that I'm not like other sinners. I do this and I do that. No, he confesses that he's a wandering sheep and he seeks the strength, the wisdom, the grace to follow after the Lord. In fact, we know that we, on our own strength, are wandering sheep. In fact, Isaiah 53, you know that verse, verse 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. So in this last stanza, and especially in the last verse of the psalmist speaks of who he really is. One who wanders. Now we also sang Psalm 23 this evening. And we know that psalm, that's the Lord is my shepherd, the shepherd and the sheep psalm, you might say. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. In fact, we know that those who have the Lord as their shepherd ultimately lack nothing. And the psalm spells that out. I won't lack rest. I won't lack life. I, won't lack guidance. I won't lack safety. I won't lack comfort. I won't lack provision. And I shall not lack heaven. And now this last stanza of Psalm 119 shows us what the psalmist needs and would indeed lack if the Lord were not his shepherd. So the stanza reminds us that we are wandering sheep. And as wandering sheep, we stand in need of understanding. We stand in need of deliverance. We stand in need of grace to worship God aright. We stand in need of strength to live godly lives. And we stand in need of life to persevere and endure the challenges that we face. None of this we do or achieve on our own strength, since we are wandering sheep. The first thing then that we are reminded of is that we need understanding. You would think that the psalmist, who have been blessed by God to write part of God's inspired word, would be a man of such knowledge, and perhaps could boast about what he knows. Earlier he did say, I have more understanding, verse 99, I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. Indeed, he knows God's word, God's testimonies give him more understanding. However, that's not a boast in his own accomplishments. He's not saying, wow, look at me, look at all I know, look at all I understand. What he's saying is, look at what God's Word gets. Look at what we have. Look at what I have in the Word. It grants me understanding. But in an ultimate sense, the psalmist is conscious of how little he knows. And thus he prays here, let my cry come before you, O Lord. Give me understanding according to your word. You hear the earnestness and the emotion in his plea. He cries before the Lord. Let my cry, he says, come before you. He wants his petition to come before the very face of God. And what he desires is understanding. God must open his eyes and give him a knowledge of his word. He's prayed this petition a number of times already throughout this psalm. I trust you remember that. Verse 34, he said, give me understanding that I may keep your law and observe it with my whole heart. Verse 73, your hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn your commandments. Verse 125, I am your servant. Give me understanding that I may know your testimonies. Verse 144, your testimonies are righteous forever. Give me understanding that I may live. The psalmist is not a know-it-all. He knows he's lacking. He knows his own need. And his need was not just for mere knowledge of what God's commands are. He's asking not just for knowledge, but for an understanding of what God's commandments are. An understanding so that he can obey God. You ever run into one of those circumstances? You're reading God's word, you know what it means, but you're in a tough situation and you don't know what to do. I'm one of those people that would like, sometimes I confess this is me, I would like God's word to just go poof, and all of a sudden, oh, okay, now I know what I'm to do next. But that's not how it works, is it? We read the Word, we have a knowledge from the Word, and then what do? We need to be like this psalmist, praying for an understanding. How do I put it into effect in this situation that's challenging me? How do I put it in effect when I know I've got three decisions before me? Okay, fourth, I know the fourth is sin, so I'll rue that one out. But these three, they're not sin. So what do? How do I live with these challenges that are before me? Well, he prays here, the psalmist, for understanding. And that's what we need to do as well. An understanding of how to put God's word into practice in everyday life. If you think you're wise, then you're one of the most foolish people of all. And on the other hand, if we recognize our lack of understanding and pray for God to give it, we do gain wisdom. We know He will give wisdom and understanding to those who come before Him. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 20 to 25, it says, "Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God the world did not know God, through wisdom it pleased God, through the folly of what we preach, to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs and Greeks seek wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men." The psalmist is praying for understanding. And notice that he prays for understanding according to the Word. The understanding that he hopes to gain is not going to come out of thin air, but it's going to be according to the Word. And so if we're praying for understanding, it stands to reason, what else do we need to do? Just sit back. We need to be in the Word, thinking about the Word, reading the Word, studying the Word, thinking about how it applies to the situation that we're in. Sometimes I think that we think we're going to get wisdom from the situation that we're in. God, give me a sign. Can you whisper something in my ear? Perhaps we're hoping something like that. Give me a dream. But God directs His people through His Word. It's the Word of God that is our only rule for faith and life. And the psalmist wants understanding from the Word for the situation that he's in. And we need to look for wisdom and understanding from the Word. Not from a gut feeling. It doesn't mean that God doesn't work with our feelings. He certainly does. But what we follow is not our feelings within. What we follow is the Word of God. The psalmist wants wisdom according to the Word. The psalmist then acknowledges his need as well for deliverance. "Let my plea come before you. Deliver me according to your word." Now, what is it that the psalmist needs deliverance from? We might think of those enemies that we read about already in the psalm who are persecuting him. And that's perhaps part of it. But I don't believe that's what's central right here. That's his real focus. I think he's thinking about something more here. Remember what he prayed for two stanzas ago, verse 154. He said, "Plead my cause and redeem me. Give me life according to your promise." There he certainly had in mind his sin, since he asked God to be his defense attorney. "Be my advocate. Provide me with redemption. Purchase me and be my defense attorney." And we know that this was beautifully fulfilled in Christ, who is our advocate with the Father, who's provided redemption for us in His blood. And if we remember the last verse as well, that the psalmist is a wandering sheep, it appears pretty clear that the chief thing that he wants deliverance from is his own sin, his own wandering ways. He's looking for deliverance from sin, from its penalty, from its power, from its presence, from evil influences and outlook of the world, and even from Satan and his hopes. See, the psalmist feels this tendency in his heart to wander, and he wants help. He wants deliverance. We're going to close this evening singing, "Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing." And perhaps you remember those words. I think we can really pray those words as we sing them. "Oh, to grace, how great a debtor, daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness like a fetter bind my wandering heart to thee, prone to wander. Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart. Well, take and seal it for thy courts above. What's the psalmist praying for here? Lord, give me deliverance, deliverance from my own wandering ways. Strengthen me, Lord. Take my heart and seal it for you. Something we need to be praying for regularly. It's so easy to wander, isn't it? We're so prone to wander. Whether we're young or old, we're prone to wander. Those temptations, they come. And before we even know they're there, there we are wandering. The psalmist also saw his need for grace to worship God aright. As a wandering sheep, he knew that he couldn't worship God aright without God's grace, God's mercy to enable him. And so he prays, my lips will pour forth your praise, for you teach me your statutes. My tongue shall sing of your word, for all your commandments are right. Now I know the ESV, as well, by the way, as the New King James, translates these two verses as statements. However, I'm convinced it is better to understand them as requests, as petitions, in line with the rest of this section. And that's the way the New American Standard translates it, by the way. The New American Standard has it like this. Let my lips utter praise, for you teach me your statutes. Let my tongue sing of your word, for all your commandments are righteous. And that word utter, let my lips utter praise. That word utter could be translated, let my lips pour forth praise. Let my lips bubble forth with praise. Let them overflow with praise. The psalmist wants his lips to be filled with praise. He wants his lips to bubble forth in praise to the Lord. Actually, that word could even be translated, it can mean a song of praise. It's used in Psalm 40, verse 3. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise, same word, to our God. He wants to bubble forth in praise. It's important to sing God's praise, to bubble forth in praise. But too often, we're more skilled at doing what? Complaining. Aren't we? In the psalmist, we know he had things rough. It ought to be our desire in prayer as well, Lord, make my lips praise you. Give that joy within. Whatever may distract us from praising God, whether it's a trial we're facing, we ought to pray, God, make me bubble forth in praise. Make my lips speak with joy. Some might say, well, what if I just don't feel very joyous now? Should I sing God's praise? Yes, you should sing God's praise. Because often what we do, when we do what we're commanded to do, we are commanded to praise God, the heart follows. Too often, right, we want to wait with many things. We like to wait till the heart feels it before we do it. My wife was mean to me. I don't feel like loving her right now, so I'm going to wait. Is that the attitude one should have? No. By the way, I'm not accusing her of being mean to me right now either. But what is our duty? We are to do our duty regardless. I am to love my wife even when she's mean. By the way, she has to love me even when I'm mean too. But often what follows? It's the emotions that often follow the obedience. But we're too often waiting for the emotions and acting on emotions rather than what we're supposed to do. Same thing when it comes to God here. We may not feel very joyous and like praising Him, so we ought to praise Him anyways and pray that God would grant that our lips would bubble forth with that praise and that joy because He is worthy. That needs to be one of our petitions in prayer. People of God, let us make it our desire, our prayer, our endeavor to sing God's praise regardless of how we feel at times. And ask that God would grant that that joy would follow. And then the same thing is reiterated in Psalm or in verse 172. He speaks about tongue, the tongue speaking God's word. This can also be the idea of singing. It has the connotation of singing, but it can also mean just speaking as well. Our lips, our tongue, is to be filled with praise to the glory of our God. We then see that we need strength to live godly, to live an upright life. We can't do it on our own strength. Sometimes we think perhaps that if I'm going to live an upright life, I'm going to do it by my own determination. And we ought to be determined to live a godly life. But the strength to do it isn't going to come from our own determination. And so he says, let your hand be ready to help me, for I have chosen your precepts. We may have chosen God's precepts, but we don't have the ability to carry them out on our own. We need God's strength so that we can live a godly life. The Psalms reminds me here of Paul in Romans chapter 7, where he says, for I know that nothing good dwells in me that is in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. So what was Paul praying there? Help me, strengthen me. I've chosen your precepts, work within me. The ability to perform what is good isn't in us. Therefore, we go to God for strength. We can't live the Christian life on the basis of our own strength. Jesus even said, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me, and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. We can't obey on our own. The psalmist then says, I long for your salvation, O Lord, and your law is my delight. The psalmist longs for God's salvation. Now, we might be tempted as we're looking at this, saying, well, wait a second, isn't the psalmist already saved? Why is he longing for salvation? And you know the answer to that question. I pointed these things out in the past. Often when we think of salvation, we think just of justification. I've been saved, past tense. But you know what? For the believer, salvation is past, present, future. What do I mean by that? We have been saved if we are in Christ. That is, we've been justified. We've been declared righteous in His sight, only for the righteousness of Jesus Christ charged to us. But not only have we been saved, what's God doing? He's working in us. He's sanctifying us. So we are being saved even as we have been saved. And so we're sanctified. We're made more like Him. So we are being saved. But there's also a sense in which we will be saved, because one day Christ will come again and He'll take us to Him. And every sinful tendency that we have will be taken away. You see, this is, I think, what the psalmist is longing for. I long for your salvation. Lord, I'm prone to wander. And what's he saying? I want your salvation. Lord, take away my sinful tendencies. Lord, sanctify me, but not only sanctify me, I look for your return. That way, I will be delivered from this body of death, set free from all the turmoil and trouble of this mortal life, freed from the assaults of Satan. Freed from my own temptations. See, yes, we can say, I have been saved. But oh, we ought to be saying at the same time, I long for salvation in its fullest sense when I am taken to be with my Savior and every sinful tendency is removed. That I am saved completely and fully from indwelling sin. You see, this, I'm convinced, is building on that last verse. Right? What's he saying? I'm a wandering sheep. Save me. I long for that salvation. Bring me back. Work in my heart. And again, he reminds me of the Apostle Paul, who longed for salvation in his fullest sense as well. Again, Romans chapter 7, right? The good I will to do, that I don't do. And then he says, Romans 7, 24 and 25, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? But it doesn't stop there. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord, so that I myself serve the law of God with my mind, but with my flesh I serve the law of sin. What's he saying here? As he's struggling with his own sinful nature. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ the Lord. He's longing for, he's looking to final salvation. The psalmist then prays, let my soul live and praise you, and let your rules help me. The psalmist prays for personal revival. If he's going to make it to the end, he needs the Lord. And he needs life and strength. So he prays God to give his soul life, thus he might persevere from the wandering ways of death. He knows he's a wanderer. He prays, deal. Earlier he prayed, right, verse 17 of the psalm, deal bountifully with your servant that I might live and keep your word. We can't make it on our own. On his own, he's a wandering sheep. And we need the same thing. We need life. We need strength to follow. Brothers and sisters, a psalmist by nature is a wandering sheep. And we, in our own strength, are wandering sheep. We stand in need of grace for every aspect of our lives. It wasn't grace merely that we needed long ago when we first believed. We need grace daily. We need understanding. We need to understand His Word, how to apply it to life. We need deliverance from our own sinful heart and the temptations around us. We need grace and mercy to worship God aright, to bubble forth with praise, because sometimes we don't feel like bubbling forth with praise. We need strength to live godly lives, and we need life to persevere to the end. And may God grant us these things that we might serve Him and glorify Him. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we do confess that we are so prone to wander. Lord, forgive us our wandering ways. Lord, give us understanding of your word. Strengthen us, Lord, to not only understand, but to apply it to life. Give us the strength to live it out. Lord, deliver us from sinful tendencies that we face, from temptations that come upon us, from the world around us, but even from our own heart within. Lord, give us life. Give us perseverance to endure the challenges that we face around us and again within. May our lives bring glory to you. We thank you, Father, that our hope is not in our own endurance, but our hope is Jesus. We give you thanks, we give you praise, and we pray it in Christ's name. Amen. Let's turn in our